you can see the notion up top, what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and what the church should look like. We're not just to hear your word, and whatever we pray your Holy Spirit come in, and that bring the good news, and let the good news come not only in word, but in prayer, and by Holy Spirit, and full conviction. Amen. But that this story arrived, and this is one of the stories that when you first are preaching through the book of Acts, you think, I'll just skip this one. Because we got, I mean, think about the other stories, you know, we started last week, we did the Holy Spirit coming on them, and they speak in tongues, and people become, you know, get saved and become Christians, and you know, what a great story. And then right after this story, there's a story of how Stephen gives his life for the Lord, and he sees the Lord sitting, standing at the right hand of the Father. I mean, it's a great story. This is one of those you might just go, maybe I'll just skip it. You know, and we think about this, I read this story just probably 100 times, maybe even 100 times. And every time I read it, I see new details. I thought about this detail, and it's easy to skip over it. But twice it mentions young men. It uses the Greek word that means young men. And there were young men, and this is their responsibility. I can't wait to get to heaven. And I ask them, well, what did you do in the kingdom of God? And this is what they say. All I care about their parents when people went to the Lord in church. Now, can you imagine we've been doing these mobilization meetings? Can you imagine if we told the ushers? Now, we want some of you to be ushers, and one of the things you'll have to do is carry out dead bodies when there are people lying on the ground. I don't know much to do for the church. But I don't think we get many takers. A few, but not many. And so this is one of those stories that I want to fill us in deeply about, because it's Stephen, who wrote this book, who wrote the book of Luke in the Acts, he put it in here because he wanted to, it's an important step in the church's life, and he wanted us to learn from it and to be really to be warned about it. But what's it really going on here? Because honestly, this is a story that's not so much about money as it is about devotion and half-hearted devotion. Now, this morning I want to talk about it, but we're going to spend a big chunk of time talking about devotion and half-hearted devotion. Now, how many of you love this product? Oh, I have a wonderful product here, and how many of you are Stan fans? I got some up there. From Chicago, so yeah. We have that. You also Stan. Who loves Stan? Anybody loves Stan? You have a couple of you. How many of you like him? Stan is awesome. My dad used to make fried Stan sandwiches on white bread with Miracle Whip. It was the most amazing food you've ever eaten in your life. In fact, I think that's what manna was in the Old Testament. It was fried Stan sandwiches on white bread with Miracle Whip. They fell from the sky, and they were just, that's what sustained the people of Israel through the wilderness. I'm not sure if that's actually right. But one of the things I love about Spam is that the name Spam is short for spiced ham. Spam. And what a great concept. Because, and I don't know if you've ever seen the package, that on the back, it contains all the nitrates you need for the day. I mean, it is packed full of lovely nitrates, would make it just taste just the right way it should taste. I mean, and the thing about it is, here's the thing, I mean, I don't want to, sell it a good name of Spam, right? But Spam is mostly, it really is, you talk about it, the first ingredient is ham. It's pork. It's a pork product. It's pork something. It is pork meat. I mean, it does say that. It just says pork. I don't know what part of the pork, but it's pork. Right? And then there's all sorts of spices and nitrates and all the good stuff that you want. And that's got me thinking about what percentage, because it doesn't say on there, what percentage of Spam is actually pork. Right? It could be 70%, it could be 30%. I don't know how many. It's the number one ingredient, but I have no idea what percentage. And because Spam is not 100% pork of varying degrees of porkiness, right? There's a mixture, right? So if it's 70%, pork, then that means how much for other stuff? 70% goes to the other stuff. We're not a capitalist major here. 30%, right? I mean, and you see how it's there. Here's the thing. This is one of the things that we need to know about devotion. Is that when our devotion is half-hearted, something else has to fill up the other half. Right? If my devotion is half-hearted, right? If only 50% of my heart is devoted. dedicated to God. It's something else has got to fill up that other 50%. Right? Would you agree with that? Yes, okay, we have to not make it really easy. This is just like it here. But if I'm only partially devoted to the Lord, I'm going to be devoted to something else as well. In fact, that's what happens, and we miss it if we read too quickly through this story. Peter says twice, he says, Ananias, how is it that Satan so filled your heart? Remember, your heart was devoted. Ananias' followers, Christians, they were devoted to the Lord, but they weren't fully devoted. And what Peter says is, how is it that Satan filled the part of your heart that's not devoted to the Lord? How did Satan fill your heart that you would lie to the Holy Spirit? He says, did it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? And if you're really not being this week, it's a great transition. It's just every now and then we miss some things. He says, what made you think of doing such a thing? But in Greek, it doesn't say that. It says, who put it in your heart to do this? See, that is my heart place. See, Peter realizes that money is not the main issue here. The money, what he's doing with the money is a symptom of something more profound. It would be like saying that if you go to the doctor for a brain tumor and the doctor says, you know, that headache's really bad, isn't it? We'll say, yeah, the headache's bad, but you know, I think the big tumor on my head is probably worse than that. I think that's what's going on here. You see, the problem with Ananias' tumor isn't necessarily money. Eventually, people begin to have expectations on a stomach, don't they? And those expectations just last and last. And then Barnabas does this wonderfully. He sells his piece of property and he gives it to the people who need help. Barnabas just does that. He's been in his heart. It's just who he is. We'll see more about it later. He's such a really good guy. And he does it out of great generosity and thanksgiving to the Lord. And Ananias and Sapphira have probably been doing that all along as well. And another reader arises. You read about it. You see, after a while, expectations begin to creep in your hearts. And people begin to ask us to solve more and more of their problems. And it's not just about money. Think about this. Think about those of you. I'm not trying to single any of you out, but look around the room. I see that some of you people are on about 3 or 4 committees, and you're working at every event that we do. And after a while, we just, as a church, we just naturally begin to depend on you, don't we? And we go, oh, well, so-and-so will do it. She always does it. And then, but you think about it, and eventually she says, you know, I've been working really hard, and I look around, and not everybody else has worked as hard as I am. Everybody expects me to do everything all the time. And what happens? Resentment begins to build. And you begin to, because of your devotion, and if your devotion is half-hearted, that is facing the church at this moment that God acts in a unique way right here. He does so because this is a very pivotal point in the church's life. It's actually not like the story we see in the Old Testament. In fact, this sounds like a very Old Testament thing, doesn't it? There's another story about Israel and a man named Achan. I actually recorded a podcast so you can go listen. I can't do all the connections here, but if you want to practice, you can listen to it. But essentially, what it connects us to that story of beginnings. And God is starting a brand new thing, and He acts decisively at this moment in order to protect the unity and the purity and the integrity of the church. And I can't make that a case. I can't make it all kind of a nice happy to make you feel okay with me. Because the God that we see in the text is not pain. The God that we see in the book of Acts, sometimes it leads to fear. Did you see it? It says it twice in verse 5 and in verse 11. It says, "In great fear seized all who heard what happened." In verse 11, "Great fear seized all the church and all who heard about these events." I want to say, no doubt it did. Of course it did. Other people died. That's something, right? And they lied about not giving all the money to the church. I mean, that's a big deal. That would be. Great fear would seize me too. You see, this fear that we often talk about is something that the church, particularly in America, the church in the West, for the most part, is trying to make this sweet, this concept of the fear of God under. We try to put it back there, but yeah, you know, maybe we talk about it, but we must be sweet under. I remember when I was a kid, I was about 11 or 12, and I hear a boy called named David. We grew up in the country, and my cousin David, actually all my cousins were called Romeo and not Romeo. And he was playing really similar playing, and he was kicked and forced and killed instantly. I wasn't there, I wasn't with him at the time, but my other cousins were there, and they saw that. I mean, they saw that actually happen. And they said that he was alive one moment, and he was dead the next. It was as if the horse kicked the life. I'm not trying to trigger anybody here. Don't let say we did a horse, right? I rode horses. I did that even after two horses. My dad had a horse. But from that moment on, horses weren't. I didn't have horses that were like Disney movie anymore. Really, these horses were powerful things that could kill you in an instant. And there was great fear seized my heart, and I learned how to treat these animals with the respect that is due them. Now, I'm not going to go back, of course, right? The analogy stands here. But the early church realized that God was not someone to be trifled with, and that God was protective of His church. That God wanted to keep His church holy and pure. That God was working to bring about His church's good and the things that His kingdom story. God had bigger pictures, and God had this big picture in mind of what the kingdom was going to look like and what the church would eventually do. And God acted decisively in this moment to protect it. I can't explain God to you. I can't explain that. I can't make it all fair to you. But this is who God is in the New Testament. Early church realizes that God is not like this body. God is not some old man who just wants us all to get along. That God is someone not to be trifled with. And His church is not something to be thrown away or cast aside. I wish I could make that a place for you. I wish I could somehow make you feel good about the fact of it. Because truth is, I don't feel good about it. But this is the God that we see. I want you to do this. I want you to realize that this story is very unique in the New Testament. It's actually very unique in the Old Testament. God doesn't do that a lot in the Old Testament either. It's a very unique situation. Most of Acts is a story of God's gracious love. And this story is meant to be taken apart of all of that. But God is still acting graciously. In fact, there's another story again, and that's from Pastor Sutton. I don't know if I really have to talk about this action, but your sin is my sin. It's not personal to me. My sin, I tend to think of that, and I don't think I would use it called sin, but what do I call it? A mistake. But the Bible says, no, this is sinfulness. This is you breaking the law of God. This is my selfishness, my half-hearted devotion expressing itself in my life. And my sin doesn't just stay inside this neat little bag. It's called neglect. I wish it did. Wouldn't it be great if it did, but it doesn't. See, my sin, it extends out to my family, to my wife, to my kids, to my extended family. And this is really true, too. It extends to you. See, my sin affects you. I wish it were true. Everything in the scriptures tell us that it is true. And your sin affects me. And your sin affects the church. I think it was 20 after that, but it was long, I'd be okay. I'm talking about my mid-20s, early 20s. I remember I went back to get a small apartment with Jack before my child's reason got pulled at the airport earlier. And so one day, it's usually small airplanes that fly around, right? But because it's a small big deal, there's like one terminal. It's like, you're going to terminal one. And I mean, excuse me, it's one terminal, right? There's just, I mean, it's one gate. And this, but so, for some reason, I don't know exactly what happened, but a bigger plane, it wasn't like a big jumbo jet, a bigger plane had to land, and they're not used to big planes landing there. And something happened, and they had to land, and whenever I was just waiting for my flight to leave, because I had this plane had to leave before the other airplanes could land there, right, because it scares the horses. And so the plane was about to leave. But remember, nobody ever did a plane this big in my travels before. I mean, we never even seen a plane that big, probably. And so the plane was trying, it had been cleared for takeoff. It was trying to go in reverse. I don't know what they call it in plane, but the guy put it in reverse, and it didn't go in reverse. And so he started revving up the engines to make it go in reverse. And all of a sudden, because he was near this thing, the outside part of the terminal blew off. The wall blew off because he was using so much power to back up. And what has happened was, is that the guy whose job it is to do this is also the guy who moves the whole block. So he had never used the plane this big, so he was doing this, and the guy was grabbing it up, and he had to go to the middle. But that little block kept him from moving. You see, no matter how much power the church has, the Holy Spirit, what Paul says in Ephesians is, the power that is available to the church is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's power. That power is available to the church. It just doesn't matter how much power is available if we have these little blocks. And as I was reading this passage, I wondered what strings of mine were holding LCPC. And I grace is bigger than all of our sins, that when we come to you, you forgive us.